Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Caught you thinking about pizza. It's okay. We are too. Especially that Marco's golden crust and a pizza bowl with four tasty toppings. Mmm. And a perfect side of melty cheesy bread? Oh yeah. Head to Marcos.com to get a large one-topping pizza on golden crust, a pizza bowl without the crust, and a fresh-baked cheesy bread, all for $21.99. Stop thinking about pizza. Start eating it. Marcos. Pizza lovers get it.
And a good Sunday morning to you, Braves fans. As always, I'm Kevin McAlpin, Truist reporter for The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. It is Sunday morning, April the 11th, 2021. Braves coming off a win over the Phillies last night at Truist Park. 5-4 was your final. And if you missed anything from last night's contest, we'll take you back through the box score and we'll give you some interesting post-game notes from this one a little bit later on in our show. We will also dive into some of the news from around Major League Baseball and what was a very busy day in the game on Saturday, and we'll take you inside the clubhouse like we do each and every day. You'll hear from Brian Snitker, you will hear from Ian Anderson and Freddie Freeman as well on today's show. And of course, as always, we'll dive into this date in baseball history. Lots to get to, and we are certainly glad to have you with us on a beautiful Sunday here in Atlanta. Only downside is the Braves have to wait till tonight to play, but it does look like a beautiful evening once again here in Atlanta. Temperatures in the mid-70s, sunny skies, and looking forward to the Braves playing under the lights ESPN Sunday Night Baseball here tonight at 7:08 p.m. Eastern. And folks, it's finally here. Nice weather, a nice breeze, and what else could you ask for? Well, you got to go check out our friends at Audi Atlanta, because right now the savings are in full bloom. Right now you can lease and get behind the wheel of a 2021 Audi Q7 for just $531 per month. A luxury and sporty SUV at a great price. You can't beat that. Just imagine driving with the panoramic sunroof open, the windows down, in your brand new Q7. Well, it's got the standard quattro all-wheel drive, room for seven, and ample cargo space. So spring into action. Take it for a test drive and let the good folks at Audi Atlanta treat you like a world-class car buying experience. Stop by their showroom on Peachtree Boulevard, just inside the perimeter, for a true VIP shopping experience. Or if you prefer, shop from the comfort of home using the Jim Ellis Expressway. Check them out online at AudiAtlanta.com to get started. Well, the Braves were looking to clinch a series win against Philadelphia in last night's action. They had Ian Anderson on the mound. He was taking on Zach Eflin in a rematch of Sunday's contest at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. The Phillies got to Ian Anderson for a couple of runs in the first inning, and yet again, it just seemed like 78, 81, 85 mile an hour exit velocities. Didi Gregorius, a two-run single in the top of the first inning, that put the Phillies up by a score of 2-0 on a ball off the bat that was just a little flare once again. I mean, it has been unbelievable the first week and a half of the regular season how the Braves have not given up a whole lot of hard-hit balls, but they seem to be finding holes, especially against this Phillies offense. Now look, as I mentioned on the post-game show last night, it is a very, very talented Phillies offensive ball club with McCutchen, Hoskins, Harper. I think Alec Bohm's got a chance down the road to be a really good player. Obviously, JT Realmuto, one of the best catchers in the game. Veteran guys like Gregorius and Segura in there. It's a tough lineup to navigate, but credit to the Braves pitching staff. They have done a really nice job through the first five games head-to-head against Philadelphia. So the Braves found themselves down 2-0 before they even came to the plate, but what do? They do what they do all the time. Acuna doubles. He scores on Ozzie's double. Freeman follows with a two-run homer, and three batters into the bottom of the first. A 2-0 deficit turns into a 3-2 lead. We're going to tell you more about some really interesting numbers when it comes to falling behind and bouncing back for this team in just a couple of minutes. Phillies would tie it in the fifth on Andrew McCutchen's first home run of the year. That would snap a string of 13 straight retired by Ian Anderson, who was really, really good last night. Final line score, probably a little misleading. I thought he pitched extremely well, and especially after that two-run single in the first. He retires 13 in a row. It was snapped. He was trying to make it 14 in a row, but McCutchen came up there with two down and the bases empty in the fifth. He tied it at three apiece. Then Bryce Harper led off the sixth with a home run, his first of the year. Phillies went in front by a score of 5-3. Anderson, 5 1/3, 4 earned, 5 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks. Did give up 2 home runs along the way. Braves would tie it in the bottom of the sixth on a two-out RBI double from Dansby Swanson. I was in the press box last night, and Marcelo Zuna was standing on third. Two outs in the inning, Braves are down by a run, and when Dansby connected and drove that ball to left field, Marcel literally ran those 90 feet to home plate with both his arms up in the air, pumping his fists. He was fired up. The Braves dugout was excited. As we know, this is a team that likes to have a lot of fun, much to the dismay of one of my followers on Twitter last night from my hometown of Philadelphia, coincidentally, said he doesn't like the fact that the Braves celebrate too much. They act like they win the World Series every time something good happens for them. Guess what? As I tweeted last night, baseball is a game. Games are supposed to be fun. That is a great quote from one of my favorite baseball movies, from Jack Elliott, of course, Tom Selleck, in the movie Mr. Baseball. I'll tell you this, anybody that doesn't like it, obviously you're not a fan of this team. If you're a Braves fan, if you've watched this team for the last few years, this is why this team is special. They love being around each other. It's a very tight-knit group. They're all pulling for each other. They all have each other's back. And yeah, guess what? They only tied the game, but guess what? They tied the game. And they would go on to take the lead in the seventh inning. And this is a team. They have fun. There's a lot of youth. There's a lot of youthful energy, whether it's Acuna or Albies or even Swanson, still a young player. You got Austin Riley, Christian Pache. These guys, they come to the ballpark every single day. And Freddie Freeman's told me the energy these young players bring, that rubs off on the veteran guys in the clubhouse. You've got great veteran leaders. It's just a really fun team to be around. It's a great group of guys. And look, anybody that doesn't like it, you're clearly not a fan of this team. And I think more teams should be like the Braves are when it comes to having that much fun when they're on the ball field. And guess what? It's a reason they've won 3 consecutive division titles. And the response I got was, yeah, well, how many World Series have they won this since the year 2000? The Phillies have won 1. Yeah, they have. That's right. The Phillies had a great run. I covered them during the end of their run. I was in the building in 2008 when they won the World Series. It was a good group. The core that the Phillies had on that run there with Howard and Utley and Victorino and obviously Pat Burrell, a big part of them winning the World Series. The pitching staff they had, just absolute true professionals with Halliday and Oswalt and Hamels and Cliff Lee. I mean, yeah, they had some just extremely talented players. And those guys had a lot of fun as well. So look, I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating tying a ball game in the bottom of the sixth inning, even if it is only April the 10th. Guess what? I love the energy this team brings. And again, it's a reason why they've gotten to where they have the last 3 years. And I hope this continues for a long, long time to come. Pitching-wise last night, bullpen was terrific. Sean Newcomb, an inning and 2/3, punched out 4 along the way. Tyler Matzek with a scoreless 8th inning in last night's contest. And then Will Smith, a 1-2-3 top of the 9th. Braves over the Phillies 5-4. 5 runs, 9 hits, no errors. The Braves left 6 runners on. For Philadelphia, 4 runs, 6 hits, 1 error. They left 4 runners on. Give Nuke the win. He's 1-0 on the season. Archie Bradley suffers the loss in relief from the Philly bullpen. He falls to 0-1. Second save in as many opportunities for Will Smith on the season. Your time of game, 2 hours and 50 minutes in front of 14,394 raucous fans last night at Truist Park. Before we step aside for a quick break, a couple of really interesting post-game notes from this one. Braves have now won 4 in a row. They're 4-4 on the year. The franchise has lost at least 4 straight games to open a season 12 times since the start of the 1901 season. This year, however, just the second time the team has immediately responded with a winning streak of at least 4 games. Of course, you got to go back to 2012. That ball club started 0-4, and that was my first year covering this team, so I remember it vividly. We were in New York, swept by the Mets, went to Houston, lost the first game. Chipper came off the injured list. Chipper did Chipper things and hit a home run his first game back. And then the Braves won 5 in a row after an 0-4 start. And that's what they're looking for here again tonight. Okay, how about this one? Since the doubleheader on Wednesday in Washington, The Braves have allowed the opposition to take a lead four different times in the last four games. Okay, remember that. The other team has taken the lead four times in four games. The Braves' offense has either gone on to tie the game or retake the lead in the very next half inning in three of those four contests. How about that? Again, the Phillies scored two in the first. Braves scored three in their half of the first. So it is remarkable, the bounce-back ability of this ball club. The Braves' offense, after being held to just three total runs in 28 innings in Philadelphia last weekend, they have now scored 27 runs in their last five games. That's about 5.5 runs per contest. And Ronald Acuna Jr., another extra base hit last night for him. He doubled in the first inning and came in to score on Ozzie's RBI double. Eight extra base hits through the first eight games of the season, five doubles, three home runs, and that is one off the modern era franchise record shared by Justin Upton in 2013 and Dale Murphy in 1985. Both those guys had nine extra base hits through the team's first eight games of the year. Freddie Freeman, another homer for him last night, his third of the season. Freddie has four hits on the year. Three of them have left the ballpark. Now, remember, the Braves have played eight games on the season. Freddie has three home runs. Go back to 2019 when he hit a career-high 38 bombs. Freeman's third home run did not come until the 24th game of the regular season. So, again, if you want to play the on-pace four game, feel free. Be my guest. It will be off the charts numbers if Freddie can keep this up as far as what he would be on pace for. I don't know if anybody really expects that to happen, but again, at the end of the day, Freddie, again, I think his bat's starting to come around a little bit. He ended up putting the ball in play against a very, very tough lefty last night in Jose Alvarado, who had a bit of a brain slip up there, went to second base, had no one to throw it to, tried to come home. It was too late. Adrianza scores the go-ahead run, and that was the final 5-4 as the Braves take down the Phillies. The winning streak is four in a row. The Braves are back to 500 on the season. And I think everybody is sleeping and breathing a little bit easier here in Braves country after that tough start to the regular season. All right, we're going to step aside for a quick break. When we return, we're going to take you inside the clubhouse. You'll hear from Brian Snitker. You're going to hear from Ian Anderson, Freddie Freeman. Lots more to get to, and we're glad to have you with us here on a Sunday on the Frozen Rope Report.
Follow the Podcast Park on social media for live updates as new episodes hit and behind-the-scenes looks at all our shows. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Podcast Park.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Well, hopefully your Sunday is off to a good start. Man, it is a beautiful morning here in the city of Atlanta. Went outside and enjoyed a little cup of coffee this morning when I woke up. The pollen was still awfully high, so I didn't stay out there very long. But beautiful day here in Atlanta. Braves and Phillies coming up tonight at 7:08 p.m. Eastern. Sunday Night Baseball here from Truist Park. A couple of lefties going at it, Drew Smyly and Matt Moore. And we'll tell you more about that a little bit later on in our show. All right, time to take you inside the Braves clubhouse. Let's first hear from the skipper, Brian Snitker, get his thoughts on what he saw from not only Ian Anderson, but the offense last night and much, much more. Here is Snit following last night's 5-4 win.
Then we could go a lot of different ways. I think, you know, just Ian writing himself enough after that first thing, how important was that?
It was really good. I mean, because he got kind of – he got locked in and, you know, I think that was good for him mentally as much as anything. But he had a nice little run there after that first inning. And it was real efficient and things were working and it was good. That was good to see. And it was also good that as bad as he struggled in the first inning, you look up and there's only two runs. So that was good too.
Yeah. What have you thought of Nuke? And now you've seen him a couple times in a pin roll.
It's really good. I mean, you know, I thought the same thing 2 years ago. He was really good out of the pen, and that was really good tonight again. So that's real promising right there. That could be a really big piece for us.
And Adrianza continuing to do what he did all spring.
Yeah, that's just big hit after big hit. I mean, that's a tough ride right there for him, and tough pitch, you know, too, to just, you know, not try and do too much, just go with it. And it was big, you know, and he's an aggressive kid too.
Snit, we haven't got really a chance to get to know him, but is he one of those guys that kind of blends in that and kind of has that brings some spirit to the club and capable of providing that big spark like he did tonight?
Yeah, you know, because and he's been an everyday player before. I mean, I think that probably serves him well off the bench. And he's been a great kid. I mean, I've really enjoyed getting to know him, and very professional and you know, consistent in his work and all the you know, all that. He's a good pro. So he's been a good addition. You know, it's a tough role, and they say he stayed ready and you know, so far done a great job.
What was your first thought when Freeman hit the grounder to Alvarado?
I thought he was going to try to turn double play. I mean, he turned. I thought probably the right play, and then, you know, I was glad that he didn't.
Okay. Any last ones for Snit?
Yeah, Snit, is this going to be the way it's going to be the whole season? Because I got to tell you, man, people with heart conditions might not cut it all the way through.
What about me? I mean, I think I'm one of them. Well, you know what, though? You go back and you look, and it seems, and we talk about this all the time, we play the same game every day. I mean, we're few and far between the ones like yesterday. I mean, it seems like it's always a tight game, which is a good thing, because then, you know, I mean, it becomes the normal, and guys, you know, it doesn't faze them at all. But we have a tendency, it seems like, to play that game every night.
It seems like Will Smith has that look about him, like even if he's given up a hit or he's not done have his best stuff, he seems calm out there regardless of the situation.
Yeah, he's got a slow heartbeat, I know. I mean, he's done that before, been very successful at it, and he just stays with his game. You know, he stays with his game and got a lot of confidence in himself, as we do. And it's with the role that he has, he's got to be like that.
Mm-hmm. From Brian Snitker to the offensive hero of last night's contest, Freddie Freeman, the reigning MVP, on base twice, drove in three runs, three of the five runs that the Braves tallied last night in the 5-4 victory. And let's now hear from Frederick Charles Freeman on another big day for the Braves offense.
Freddie, how important was it just to jump out there and answer in the first inning after Ian, you know, had to navigate through a little bit of trouble there?
Yeah, I mean, first things are always tough. First home start in front of fans for Ian, so we gotta take that into account. So he was pumped up, you know, and gave up a couple of runs, but we were able to get back. Ronald leading off with double, Ozzie coming through, and then I was able to get one over the fence. So that was big. It helped settle him down. Gave up a couple home runs at the end, but all in all, Ian looked good, and you know, good teams come through.
You guys are finding a way to win. Your offense isn't clicking on all cylinders yet, but do you feel like it's starting to get there? You know, you get a hit here, home run there.
Yeah, we're making them count at least. You know, my one hit a game the last couple of days have been a good one. So, you know, I told some of the guys, I think by Tuesday, Wednesday, as we get four or five games in a row, start playing, getting ABs every single day, not getting off days, I think our offense will start clicking. But I think we had nine hits tonight, so that's good. We're starting to put better ABs back to back, and we were able to come through in the seventh inning with Dansby. That was huge. And sometimes you just got to put the ball in play sometimes and be able to get one over there and against Alvarado.
You said how good Acuna looked on the first day you saw him at spring training. The guy's on fire right now, it seems like.
Yeah, it's a great start. He's looked great since spring training, day one I got there. So he's been pummeling the ball to right field, staying on pitches, and that's been huge. His batting practice is fun to watch. He's not really trying to pull the ball in batting practice, and you know, he's been able to stay on pitches, stay on the off speed a lot longer, being able to hit the off speed out for homers like he did yesterday. So it's been fun to watch. So hopefully we can start joining him soon and start rolling here.
Hey Freddie, what about us idiots that said your bench was going to stink?
I don't know if you get three pinch hit homers in a whole season sometimes, and we've been able to do that in the first week, and then Adrianza with a big double again. It's Snit's been pushing the right buttons, and you know, it's you can go with Pablo. They're all hot right now, so it's huge for us, and you know, we have confidence in every single one that goes up there. So, and they've been coming through for us, and you know, we wouldn't have four wins without our pinch hitters right now.
Well, I mean, could you tell Adrianza could provide that spark there in spring training?
Well, I mean, spring training, it was like Babe Ruth, so kind of, you know, he was on fire in spring with, so just like Pablo was. So they've just carried it over how they felt in spring training. And, you know, it's been huge. The pinch hitting, I think, in this game is the hardest thing to do. And they've been able to come through for us in a big way in the first eight games so far.
Freddie, how do you like Nuke in that bullpen role that he's done a couple times now?
Wow. That's the Nuke that almost threw the no-hitter against the Dodgers, especially with what he did in Washington. He was just throwing the heater 97 and 99, had to rise. It was beautiful to see. You could just see as his outing tonight, he kept – you know, he gained his confidence back again. Every pitch, it felt more and more with intent as he went on tonight. And, you know, that sometimes the strike three, like he did in Washington is great, but sometimes you need a little trouble that he got into, and he was able to get out of that. And that's going to be huge for him going forward. It's a big piece right now.
From Freddie Freeman to the man who started the contest last night, Ian Anderson. Anderson did not factor in the decision, took a no decision, despite giving up four earned on five hits over five and a third. Did give up a couple of home runs. The home run ball that was really a non-factor for him last year, bit by the long ball last night over those five and a third. A solo shot to McCutcheon in the fifth, a solo shot to Harper in the sixth. And let's now hear from the 22-year-old right-hander get the thoughts of Ian Anderson on last night's outing.
Ian, how encouraged were you to be able to rebound after that first inning and give him what you did the rest of the night?
Yeah, it was definitely a good sign going forward. That first inning was tough. I felt like I was throwing the ball pretty well. The ball was coming out, and I was making some okay pitches, and they were finding some holes. But, to be able to kind of settle in and set you know, those guys down in order was good in those middle innings, and then, you know, the home run kind of got away from me. So other than that, yeah, it was I was telling Travis I didn't pitch out of the stretch after that first inning, so that's a good sign, I guess.
Were you Freddie was saying how, you know, it's your first home game with fans and all that, and I know your parents were in the crowd. Were you a little amped up there in that first inning maybe? Or
yeah, definitely, yeah. It's awesome to have the fans back in the stadium, and it's fun. It's you know, I got a little taste of it in the playoffs last year, but to play in front of the home fans was something special, and it was good first experience to kind of, you know, learn from and go from there.
How good does it feel when the offense comes back so quickly like that, you know, and kind of resets it for you?
Yeah, it's awesome. That's what we do as a team. You know, these guys are always ready to hit and ready to get up there in the batter's box, put up good ABs, and I thought we had some great team ABs tonight, and that's what this team does. That's what this team's kind of built on. So it's definitely encouraging as a pitcher, you know, to go out for that second inning, and you know, I end up getting a quick inning. So that's always good after you kind of come back and put some runs up.
Ian, I know starting pitchers only see so much during spring training, but how fun has it at least been to follow this Adrianza story so far?
Yeah, no, he's been incredible. You know, coming into spring and making the team doing as well as he did down there, and you know, being able to come off the bench with, you know, I don't know if he's taking any advice from Sandoval or what, but you know, what those two guys have been able to do coming off the bench is just makes us that much deeper as a team.
Is it have you felt like, you know, maybe other teams have a little bit better book on you this year, and maybe you'll have to do a little more adjusting to them? Is it, you know, can you tell because it's your second time through and all that?
Yeah, definitely a little bit. You know, it's definitely something that's going to be an adjustment. And I knew that coming into the season.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I went out there and got, you know, hits super hard around the park. So I feel like I was competitive, and that's going to be the biggest thing. I'm not trying to over-adjust, I think. Kind of sticking to what I can do and what I know I can do, and trusting the game plan going in, and trusting Travis back there in the defense, and you know, I feel like I did a good job of that tonight, and the two pitches that, you know, they hit a long way kind of got away from me, but, you know, that's going to happen. So
as long as they're solos, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's always nice. You know, it keeps the team in the game, even though, you know, they're able to leave the park. So
have you had a chance to see Newcomb, to watch him in that bullpen role, what he's done?
Yeah, no, he's been awesome coming out, you know, throwing hard, buying into it. And, yeah, what he was able to do in Washington, you know, the other day was pretty impressive, to say the least. So, you know, blowing that fastball by guys in the upper 90s was, you know, we all knew he could do it, and he knew he could do it. So you can see him starting to get some confidence.
So there's Ian Anderson. And again, a guy that's going to have to learn how to make adjustments. But when you listen to him talk, you forget that he is as young as he is. He is a sharp young man. And I have all the confidence in the world that he will make the necessary adjustments as he moves forward. All right, time to take a peek at this date in baseball history before we preview tonight's action. It was on this date of April the 11th, 1928, 40-year-old veteran Ty Cobb, the Georgia Peach, and 41-year-old Tris Speaker, who spent last season with the Senators, both start in the outfield on opening day for the A's, batting second and third, respectively. The 8-3 loss to the Yankees at Philadelphia's Scheib Park, also known as Connie Mack Stadium, marks the first time that future Hall of Fame players played as teammates in a game. So there you go, on this date in 1928, Ty Cobb and Tris Speaker, both in the outfield. They hit second and third in the order, and first time that Hall of Fame teammates were in the same lineup together. All right, also on this date, April the 11th of 1961, Carl Yastrzemski made his major league debut, and he would single off of Kansas City's Ray Herbert in the team's 5-2 opening day loss at Fenway Park. The 21-year-old will amass 3,419 hits during his 23-year Hall of Fame career with Boston. On this date, Carl Yastrzemski making his big league debut in 1961. All right, also on this date in 1961, Robin Roberts made his 12th straight opening day start. He was tagged with the loss when the Phillies lose to the Dodgers in Los Angeles by a score of 6-2. The right-hander's effort tied Grover Cleveland Alexander's National League record for consecutive regular season openers. On this date, 1961, Hall of Famer Robin Roberts was on the mound for the 12th consecutive opening day. All right, also on this date in 1968, the Tigers get the first of 103 victories in their World Championship season in dramatic manner. Gates Brown would pinch hit for John Warden, would hit a walk-off home run leading off the bottom of the ninth inning to beat Boston at Tiger Stadium by a score of 4-3. So on this date, that was win number one of 103 victories for the Tigers. All right, also on this date in 1985, April the 11th, Cal Ripken, nursing a sprained left ankle suffered while covering second base on a pickoff play in yesterday's game, was ordered by a doctor not to play today against the midshipmen at the U.S. Naval Academy. The Orioles' shortstop streak of consecutive games, which would have ended if not for the team's exhibition contest, had just gotten started, 444 games into 2,632 in a row for the Hall of Fame shortstop Cal Ripken Jr. All right, it was also on this date in 1996, Greg Maddux's major league record of road victories is halted with a 2-1 loss to the Padres at Jack Murphy Stadium. The Braves right-hander was 18-0 with an ERA south of 1 per game in 20 regular season road starts dating back to July of 1994. So on this date, Greg Maddux's road winning streak stopped at 18 in a row in 1996. All right, one more for you here. It was on this date in 2006. Bob Shepard, the longtime voice of Yankee Stadium, they called him the voice of God, missed his first Yankee Stadium home opener since 1951. He sustained a hip injury at his home one day before. The longtime PA address announcer will return to the microphone during the team's next homestand. If you've never heard Bob Shepard, I highly encourage you to go to YouTube or wherever you can find it. Listen to that voice. I mean, I went to Yankee Stadium, I don't know, a handful of times over the years, old Yankee Stadium, that is. And Bob Shepard was just, I mean, his voice was absolutely incredible, very welcoming, very comforting. It was just, I mean, he was just, I mean, he's immortalized in the Monument Park there at Yankee Stadium. Passed away in 2010 at the age of 99. He announced more than 4,500 Yankees games over 56 years. Of course, he also was the announcer, the PA announcer for the New York Giants for more than, I think, 25, 26 years as well. Again, nicknamed the Voice of God by Reggie Jackson. So there you go. On this date, he missed his first home opener in about 60 years, I think it was. At Yankee Stadium. So that's a look at this date in baseball history. As far as what's to come here tonight, you've got the Braves and the Phillies coming up at Truist Park. Braves looking to break out the brooms and sweep the Phillies out of town, do what they did to Philadelphia last weekend. Couple of 31-year-old lefties on the mound. Drew Smyly for the Braves, Matt Moore on the mound for the Phillies, and we will be on the air tonight with the Ford Leadoff Show at 5:55 p.m. Eastern. That'll be Chris Domino and yours truly walking you right up to first pitch as Ben Ingram and Joe Simpson have all the action. Braves and Phillies from Truist Park here tonight at 7:08 p.m. Eastern. And again, stick around for the Hyundai postgame show and Braves wrap up immediately following with yours truly as well. Hey, also wanted to thank DBAT for getting involved on our Frozen Rope report here. Our good friends over at DBAT Marietta. If you are in the area here, or if you're not, tons of locations all around the country. So whether you're in Atlanta, whether you're in the Atlanta metro area, or whether you're elsewhere around the country, check them out. DBAT. And again, if you're in the local area, go see our friends at DBAT Marietta. Summer camps are coming. The registrations are open now. Of course, they also have camps, clinics, batting cage rentals. You can have private lessons like my son Max does with Coach Charles once a week every Wednesday, and much, much more. Check them out online at dbatmarietta.com. You can schedule your lessons. You can register for camps and clinics and much, much more. Tell them Kevin sent you from the Braves Radio Network, and they will take very good care of you. My son's been taking lessons for, almost 2 months now, and he has made such good progress. It really is remarkable. So again, go see our friends at DBAT Marietta, and we appreciate them getting involved with the Frozen Rope Report here on a daily basis. Well, that's going to do it for our show here today. Folks, have a great Sunday. We will talk to you later on today as we get you set for the Braves and Phillies right here on 680 The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.